Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 80 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
Each been a sponsor or supporter in some way, form, or fashion every year for our 25 years of this event.
St. Clair is preparing for their golf outing fundraiser.
An event focusing on social justice takes place next month.
A Clay County mother will stand trial for murder.
Students in Martin County are upset after being forced to change LGBTQ-positive shirts.
The Kentucky State Auditor announced Kentucky retirement systems are not in compliance with pension laws.
In sports, Round County boys and girls soccer teams are in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
60% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 64. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
St. Clair Healthcare is still looking for additional teams to compete in its 25th annual benefit golf outing. The event will be held Thursday, September 12th at the Eagle Trace Golf Course. Tom Lewis is the executive director of the St. Clair Foundation. He says all the proceeds from the event go to a worthy cause.
We have raised just short of $1.7 million to help with St. Clair's efforts to provide charity care to people in our service region who either don't have insurance or struggle financially, and it helps us fulfill our mission to care for people regardless of their ability to pay. We never want to see anybody feel like they can't come through our doors because they can't afford desperately needed health care.
To participate in the golf outing or to sponsor a team, call St. Clair at 783-6512.
An event focusing on social justice issues will be held in Moorhead next month. We the People is supported by the American Civil Liberties Union of Kentucky's Smart Justice Advocates Program. The event hopes to create a forum for individuals to engage with experts who are working to resolve issues in the justice system and to provide civic engagement opportunities. Chief Organizer Gary Dethridge says he hopes the participants take something away from the event.
A greater understanding of how and why the issues that we're talking about affect them, whether or not they themselves or even anyone that they know individually has been affected by these judicial issues and laws that dictate the way that we handle folks who step outside of the boundaries of society here in Kentucky.
We the People will take place on September 14th at 1 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center. The event is free and open to the public.
Students at Martin County High School say they were forced to change T-shirts after a school administrator claimed they violated the dress code. Students say they feel like the action was discriminatory since their clothing depicted LGBTQ-positive messages. Student Zachary Mills tells WYMT there is a double standard when it comes to dress code violations.
I don't think it's fair because I'll see people walk around school with Confederate flags on their boots, hats, shirts, belt buckles even. I hope that us as LGBTQ students and people as a whole will be treated equally because right now it's not what it's looking like.
Superintendent Larry James issued a statement claiming the miscommunication had been resolved.
The secret testimony from former Purdue Pharma President Richard Sackler and other records in a Kentucky opioids lawsuit must be made public after the state Supreme Court declined to review an earlier ruling. The court record was sealed in 2015 as part of a $24 million settlement between Purdue and the state of Kentucky. Health news website Stat sued to open the records. In ruling for the publication, the Court of Appeals reasoned there was a strong public interest in disclosing records that involved a settlement with a government agency. On Monday, the 17 million pages of documents were shipped from Frankfort to Pike County, where the case originated. Officials in the Pike County Circuit Court Clerk's office could not immediately say how and when they would be available.
Kentucky State Auditor Mike Harmon has announced the Kentucky retirement systems and the teachers' retirement systems are not in compliance with public pension transparency laws. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Harmon announced Tuesday the Kentucky retirement systems failed to post 86% of investment contracts. while the teachers' retirement system failed to post 81% of investment contracts. While this is a violation of the law, WKYT reports Harmon says he has found no evidence of funds being mismanaged. This comes 2 years after the Kentucky legislature passed Senate Bill 2, which requires the disclosure of investment contracts. The teachers' retirement system responded to the auditor's findings that it is withholding sensitive information, which they claim is protected within the law. Harmon also announced the Kentucky retirement systems had more than $16 million in unpaid invoices, which is a 70% increase from the end of the 2018 fiscal year. Kentucky State Police make up $6.1 million of the unpaid invoices, with more than half of those attributed to standard sick leave. For WMKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
The Kentucky Department for Public Health has a new commissioner. The agency's Cabinet for Health and Family Services on Monday announced that Dr. Angela Tackett Deeringer of Versailles has taken on the role. Deeringer is an associate professor at the University of Kentucky College of Medicine and is board certified in internal medicine, pediatrics, public health, and general preventative medicine. A Cabinet for Health and Family Services statement says Deeringer helped create the Kentucky Public Health Research Network, the first public health practice-based research network in the state. The Department for Public Health is responsible for developing and operating state public health programs and activities for residents of the state.
A wall is going up between Republicans and Democrats in Kentucky's capital. The Courier-Journal reports Senate President Robert Stivers has authorized building a wall in the state capitol annex so that three Republicans won't have to share office space with Democrats. Stivers says GOP members should have the ability to talk freely without being overheard. Construction of that wall is expected to cost taxpayers about $12,000. An increase in the number of Republicans elected recently has led to one office suite in the annex building being shared by both parties. The Senate has 29 Republicans and 9 Democrats. Some Democratic senators say the wall is divisive and a waste of money, but Senator Julian Carroll says Republicans and Democrats have traditionally had privacy.
Gubernatorial candidate Andy Beshear and his running mate Jacqueline Coleman visited Pike Central High School Monday to talk about their campaign's plan for bringing jobs into the region. Beshear said the plan would focus on investing in agritech, manufacturing, and healthcare. Coleman tells WYMT a strong workforce starts in the classroom.
When we talk about job creation and attracting new businesses and helping current businesses expand, that is not possible unless we look at the genesis of job creation, which is public education in Kentucky.
The two visited Pike Central's vocational classroom to discuss the county's technical centers and nursing programs. Beshear says his administration would budget based on its values, which includes employment and public education.
Two famous guests are coming to Eastern Kentucky in support of Governor Matt Bevin and Dr. Ralph Alvarado's campaign for governor and lieutenant governor. Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle will be in Hazard and Pikeville on Thursday. Guilfoyle is an attorney who co-hosted The Five on Fox News until last year. They will be at Hazard Community College at 11:30 a.m. for lunch, and then will be at the Appalachian Wireless Arena at 2:30 p.m. for a rally supporting Bevin's campaign. Admission for the rally is free.
Governor Matt Bevin is using last weekend's visit by Senator Bernie Sanders to Louisville to link his opponent in the governor's race to policies he argues are unpopular in Kentucky. The Vermont lawmakers' rally drew hundreds to the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville over the weekend, but Bevin is hoping to tie his rival, Attorney General Andy Beshear, to Sanders and high-profile Democrats he argues don't share Kentucky's values on abortion, economic policy, and government assistance.
Andy Beshear, who's in line with Bernie Sanders, they share the same party, the same ideology. They share the same values on many fronts.
Yet Beshear has stayed notably quiet on Sanders' visit. Bevin, meanwhile, has been eager to tether his campaign to President Donald Trump, who remains popular in the state.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Round County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods. Accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program, supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
Today marks 13 years since Flight 5191 crashed on takeoff from Bluegrass Airport, killing nearly everyone on board. Bound for Atlanta, the plane prepared for takeoff early in the morning, but the airplane's first officer lined up the aircraft on the wrong runway. It was too short for the regional jet, causing it to crash into a field on takeoff. John Pfister tells LAX 18 he had a close friend and clients on the flight.
I had clients in town that were supposed to be on this flight, and I had fallen asleep on the couch at night, and I woke up in the morning and I saw this headlines, and I said, oh my gosh, my clients were on that flight. So, but anyway, I rang their number just to see what would happen, and they had gotten bumped.
A memorial was erected at the University of Kentucky in honor of those lost.
The Frederick Douglass versus Bryan Station football game was put on hold Friday night after a false claim of a firearm in the stadium. Officials say a weapon was never found, but it could lead to changes for future games. John Akers is the director of Kentucky's Center for School Safety. He tells WKYT situational awareness is a top priority.
It's incredibly dangerous to have somebody say something like that and cause mass panic, and people start running around.
Fayette County Public School officials say in addition to investigating, they are also reviewing policies and practices to prevent future incidents.
A judge has declared a Clay County mother accused of murdering her newborn child competent to stand trial. According to WKYT, 21-year-old Amber Bowling is accused of placing her baby in a garbage bag before throwing the bag over a banister of her second-story apartment. 2 days after Bowling gave birth, a neighbor found the garbage bag and the child. An autopsy revealed the newborn suffered cranial bleeding and fractured ribs. Bowling's trial is scheduled for May of 2020.
The Breathitt County Judge Executive is facing 16 new counts of first-degree official misconduct. WMKY's Sarah Mead has the story.
Judge Executive Jeff Noble was indicted for buying lumber with county money for personal use. Noble was arrested Tuesday and faces 16 new counts of first-degree misconduct, one count of abuse of public trust for less than $10,000, and one count of theft by unlawful taking less than $10,000. According to WYMT, the new charges allege that Noble put diesel fuel from the Jiffy Mart into his personal vehicle 16 times and used county funds to pay for it. Noble's lawyer, George Campbell, said he is aware of the charges and is working to find out more information. Noble was taken to the Three Forks Regional Jail. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
A Floyd County man has been arrested after threatening hospital staff at Pikeville Medical Center. Mountaintop Media reports 27-year-old Donovan Smallwood of Beaver became irate at hospital staff before being arrested by Pikeville police. Authorities say they found the man yelling and threatening staff members. Smallwood was arrested and charged with third-degree terroristic threatening and second-degree disorderly conduct. He is lodged in the Pike County Detention Center.
A sexual assault was reported last week at one of the residence halls at Marshall. The assault allegedly happened on Thursday, and the student who reported it knew their alleged attacker. WSAZ spoke with students on campus.
But on campus, I feel pretty safe, and we especially have those blue boxes where we can just alert for police to come and escort us if we ever feel unsafe and need help getting home. But yeah, definitely off campus is an issue.
In a statement from the university, officials say they are focused on prevention of sexual assault on campus. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast. Tonight, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with low around 64. Wednesday, mostly cloudy through mid-morning, then gradual clearing with a high near 79. Wednesday night, clear with a low around 56. Thursday, sunny with a high near 80. Thursday night, clear with a low around 58. Friday, sunny with a high near 86. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 62. And now taking a look at current temperatures for the WMKY listening area. 79 degrees in Flemingsburg, 79 degrees in Maysville, 80 degrees in Ashland, 80 degrees in Grayson, 82 degrees in Inez, Mount Sterling, and Lexington, and it's 81 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
The Rowan County girls soccer team opened their season with a loss at Ashland Blazer, but they brought home two wins and a draw from the Smoky Mountain Cup in Gatlinburg, Tennessee this weekend. On our feature segment today, WMKY's Jonathan Burton takes a look at the season ahead.
The Vikings went 13-7 last season, falling in the second round of the 16th regional tournament. The team lost seven seniors to graduation, two juniors to early college, and one player is currently injured. And Coach Alan Evans says that has shifted the team's focus for the beginning of the season.
Offensively, we feel very comfortable. Defensively is what we lost a lot of, so we're looking to build early through our defense. And we're probably going to struggle early on with that, but I think as the season goes, as the games goes, we'll get more comfortable with that defense.
He says it will be nice to have their leading scorers returning to the field.
Promise Cross, she'll be a striker up top, and probably Faith will be up there with her sister. And they combined for 40 goals last year and 16 assists. And so offensively, they're going to be filling up the nets. And then at midfield, we have returning center mid Natalie Payton. She's going to be a junior. And so she was really instrumental in goals last year and assists as well. So strong center mid and then feeding those forwards.
Evan says his utility players have some experience, but they will really need to focus on defense this season.
Senior Aaliyah Barker and senior Caden Hilton, they're going to be organizing the defense back there. Sophomore Haley Barnett's going to be back there. We have one of our center backs, and then we have senior Rachel Emmerich as well. And then we have our four-year starter and our goal as our goalkeeper, Megan Gonzalez. And so she has a wealth of experience helping those young girls and those inexperienced girls get organized back there and really to put that strong defensive wall up in front of her.
The team faced off with several schools during preseason scrimmages.
I think overall at camp and at bluegrass games, we were ahead of where we should be. And so I think we did well. We beat Ohio County, and we were able to just lose to Woodford County by one, and it was a PK. So we lost 2-1, but then we were able to score on them and get many looks at the goal. So we feel really good about that. And they didn't have a lot of goals scored on us. And so Megan had a big part of that in goals. So overall with preseason, I'm very pleased.
Evan says you can't recruit soccer players in high school. His staff has to work with the students that come out for the team.
So we get those athletes and we try to teach them those soccer fundamentals. So we hit fundamentals super hard and we hit defensive super hard. I go on progression. I don't get paid on wins and losses, you know. And so as long as we're showing progression, I'm pleased with the team. If you win and beat a small club by many goals but you play poorly, that's not very important to me. You might play a big program and still lose like Woodford County, but have a great performance, and that's what we're looking for. So we really focus on that progression.
The Vikings traveled to Boyd County tonight for a 6:30 matchup. They'll host Greenup County tonight for their home opener. For WMKY Sports, I'm Jonathan Burton.
It's 4:48 and 81 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. Shawmarie Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Ruta Baker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Ruta Baker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Ruta Baker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Rowan County boy and girl soccer teams are in action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Rowan County girls soccer team will hit the road tonight. The Vikings stand at a 2-1-1 on the season and will be facing off with 2-1 Boyd County. Head coach Alan Evans knows the Lady Lions will be a tough opponent.
They've already beaten Johnson Central, that's an impressive win. They've always beaten Lawrence County. Both teams beat us last year, and so I know both teams have lost a lot of players. And so we're looking to go into Boyd County. They tied us at the end of the season, so a very competitive match. They may have a little advantage being at home, but we're coming off this high off the weekend and hopefully have a strong performance at Boyd County.
Game time tonight in Ashland is set for 6:30 p.m. The Round County boys soccer team will host Russell tonight. The Vikings are currently 3-0-1 on the young season, coming off a draw with GRC last night. Head coach Max Hammond says this week's schedule will prepare his team for postseason play.
You know, you're always going to be ready, but I think that, you know, we've got three games back-to-back-to-back here. You know, I usually do that whenever I can know the quality of the opponent. I mean, Russell has been good in years past.
Game time tonight with the Red Devils is set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at the soccer action in the 16 region tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts a doubleheader with Huntington St. Joseph Prep. The boys begin at 6 p.m. and the girls' game starts at 8. Bath County's teams head to Morgan County for a doubleheader. The girls get things started at 6, with the boys' game to follow at 8. West Carter High will host a doubleheader with cross-county rival East Carter. The girls' game begins at 6, and the boys face off at 8. And finally, in 16th region soccer action tonight, Fleming County boys travel to Montgomery for a 6 p.m. matchup. In regional volleyball action tonight, Ashland Blazers host Rose Hill Christian and Memphis hosts Elliott County. Both those games begin at 6. Then East Carter travels to Bath County, Lewis County travels to Fairview, Fleming's heads to Harrison County, Russell travels to Greenup, and West Carter hosts Boyd. All five of those games are set to begin at 7 p.m. We'll have scores from tonight's 16th Region Sports action tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Morehead State football program will continue to honor the past by naming weekly awards after former standout players. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has the story.
The Morehead State coaches hand out weekly accolades throughout the season to former players. This week's picks include offensive most valuable player Anthony Ravizzi, one of the most prolific ball carriers in Morehead State history. Defensive MVP Ryan McKenzie was a three-time All-PFL South Division selection at defensive tackle. Special Forces MVP Bill Ballard, one of the most consistent punters in program history. Big Stick, Big Sack Zach Pruitt, a first-team All-Mid-Major All-American in 2001 and 2002. Big Block Billy Poe was named a consensus All-American in 1986 at offensive guard and was a two-time All-Ohio Valley Conference selection. And finally, Game Breaker Jabari McGee, who rushed for 2,343 career yards from 2003 to 2006. These players will be honored during MSU's season opener against Union on Thursday. Kickoff is scheduled for 6 p.m. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Morehead's volleyball team is gearing up for a road trip this weekend. The Eagles open regular season play Friday at the Christy Curtis Volleyball Invitational in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Head coach Jamie Gordon says his team has a lot of versatility and depth.
There's a large freshman class. We have six new players coming in, but we also have a great deal of experience returning. You know, one of the things that's just been fun to have in the gym is this meshing of, you know, youth and experience. But I think anybody coming from the outside would have difficulty trying to distinguish who's our new players and who our veterans are.
MSU will face Renthrow Friday at 1 and North Carolina A&T Friday at 4. On Saturday, Morehead will face off with Davidson at 10 a.m. Live stats will be available during the games at msueagles.com. The September 14th football game between the University of Kentucky and the University of Florida is already sold out. According to officials with Kentucky football, over the last 2 weeks, the four-game flex packs, pocket passes, and student passes have all been sold out. Student tickets will still be available beginning September 3rd. UK Athletics has surpassed its 2018 season ticket total, and more than 5,000 new season ticket packages have been purchased. Kentucky football has planned 8 home games this fall for the first time since the 2015 season. The football team finished the 2018 season at number 11 in the Amway Coaches Poll. The ranking from 2018 was the team's first ranking since the 1984 season and the highest ranking season since the 1977 season. After opening with a 6-3 win last night, the Reds hope to keep the momentum up going in Game 2 of their series against the Miami Marlins tonight. Right-hander Luis Castillo looks to pick up his third win this month when he takes the mound for Cincinnati. Castillo has had success striking out batters with his changeup for most of the year. He has struggled making batters miss as of late, however, striking out only 7 batters over his last 10 in a third innings. The Marlins counter with left-hander Caleb Smith, who was 1-3 with a 5.66 ERA in the month of August. First pitch from Miami is set for 7:10. A jockey who won the Kentucky Derby 3 times faces a drunken driving charge in southern Indiana. WDRB.com reports that Calvin Burrell was stopped Sunday night in Harrison County. Online court records show he's charged with operating a vehicle while intoxicated. It wasn't immediately known if Burrell has a lawyer who could comment on the charges. Burrell, a Louisiana native, won the Kentucky Derby in 2007, 2009, and 2010. He also won the Preakness Stakes in 2009. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football hosts Union College on Thursday. Kickoff is set for 6 p.m. Soccer welcomes Akron at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials more than erased a 155-point rally this morning as a recession indicator from the bond market worsened and fears around the U.S.-China trade war weighed on equity trading. And at the close, the Dow did finish with a loss of 120.93 at 25,777.90. The S&P 500 was down 9.22 at 2869.16, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 26.79 at 7826.95. And losses in Netflix and NVIDIA and T-Mobile really weighed on the NASDAQ Composite today. The spread between the 10-year Treasury and the 2-year rate fell to negative 5 basis points, as the 2-year rate is actually 5 basis points above the 10-year. And this, of course, is called the yield curve inversion. And this is the most extreme inversion between these two maturities since 2007. Also, the 3-month Treasury bill rate has traded higher on occasion as of late than the 30-year bond yield. And, of course, these are all considered recessionary signs by many analysts. Because of the lower interest rates today, bank shares were under pressure, as Bank of America was down 1.1%, while Citigroup dropped 1.6%, and J.P. Morgan was down 1%. Markets, of course, rallied yesterday on trade hopes, as, of course, over the weekend, President Trump said he expected the U.S. to strike a deal with China, citing economic pressure on Beijing. And also, President Trump said that China had made phone calls over the weekend trying to expedite meetings. Trump's claims that the G7 that China called the U.S. has been called into question by several different analysts, particularly in China. And also the Global Times, today's moves follow a rally in the previous session where the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ all rose more than 1% as semiconductor stocks in particular were strong. And this strength came after President Trump said over the weekend that he expected the U.S. to strike a trade deal with China. Today, though, there was no other news relating to trade, and skepticism still abounds that there will be any real progress between the U.S. and China in the coming weeks. And, of course, this skepticism led to a lot of the selling this afternoon. In individual company news, Johnson & Johnson shares rose almost 2%. This after the company was forced to pay $572 million in an opioid case in Oklahoma, and the fine was much less than what prosecutors were looking for. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.4% at $54.94 a barrel. Gold was up 1% at $1,552.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a pretty good day with the Stock 600 index up 0.8%. Most Asian markets were up with the Nikkei up 1% and the Shanghai Composite gaining 1.38%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third down 11 cents at $25.30, Marathon Petroleum down 72 cents at $45.32, Delta Airlines down 15 cents at $56.13, Humana down $16.65 at $272.14, and Yum Brands was down 26 cents to finish at $116.97. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.